one of many speakers. Amen. I'm gonna be reading from Jeremiah 18, verse 1 through 6. Amen. I know that we do have a time limit of 5 minutes. Amen. So I'll try to keep mine short but good. Amen. Amen. So from verse 1, the word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord and saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seems good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, and saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, said the Lord. Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. Amen. Amen. If you could please have a seat. Today I'm going to preach you on now is the time. Amen. Amen. So in this parable between the clay and the potter, amen, it is telling us that God is still like he is working on us. Amen. He's still improving us. Amen. Amen. And like I think that this is a good topic for tonight, amen, because like you know this is like you know is the eve of the new year, amen, and then like you know everybody has have like you know the resolutions for the next year, amen, and like you know it is good to have like you know other resolutions, amen. It's good to try to change yourself to, like, you know, improve yourself, you know, like, you know, but, like, you know, don't forget about God. Amen. Amen. Because God, like, you know, he also is trying to change us to prove us for the better. Amen. Amen. We also have to remember that. Amen. Amen. And then, like, you know, I know, like, you know, it is typical for us, like, you know, in the month of you know, March or most times in February, amen, we tend to forget about all other resolutions, amen. But, like, you know, and I'm guilty of that too, amen. Amen. But, like, you know, the work of God, like you know, it cannot be unforgotten. Amen. Amen. If we are in His hands, amen, we have to continue with the process of it. Amen. And like you know, as long and as hard as it may be, amen. Like you know, He is molding us. Amen. And like you know, He is fixing us. You know, for you know the future, amen, because like as a potter, like you know is molding the clay, so like you know he break it down and then he molded again and then he break it down and mold it again until like you know it's perfect, amen, and like in the process of the breaking and the molding, amen, it is hurt. It's painful, amen. It is rough, amen. But the process is good because the process it was needed for us to make it to the end, amen. And the end it could be like you know to be like you know a better Christian, amen. A preacher, amen. A Sunday school teacher, amen. A worship leader, amen. A host of things, amen, amen. So we have to allow God to able to use us and to be able to mold us and to use us in the process, amen, Amen, amen. And like, you know, and don't be resistant, amen. Because like, you know, as he is trying to mold us and to fix us, amen. And because the process, it hurts, amen. And we're saying like, no, be like the pain is too rough with this, or the pain is rough with that, or to remember the past, it hurts, amen. We should not be resistant or to hold on to all that past hurt and pain, amen, amen. We should allow it to be let go and to be released, amen, amen. And then I'm gonna close here, amen, because I'm almost out of time. But in the rest of the parable, amen. It tells us like God at that time, like, you know, he was trying to bring the people of Israel, amen, into repentance, amen, amen. Because like at that point, amen, like, you know, they walked away, amen, amen. So like, you know, I know that we have a host of people here, amen, and like everybody is in a different process, like, you know, of being worked on, amen, amen. But if you are at the beginning, in the middle of the process, or the end of the process, amen. Just remember to allow God, like, you know, to be able to mold you and to improve you, amen. In the process, amen. I am finished. Amen. If you all stand, we'll just take a moment to worship our God and allow God to mold us, amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How about we worship? Come on, let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Let's give God the praise. I know it's nighttime. I know it's not Sunday morning, but you probably worked today. I did, but let's go ahead. Let's lift up our voices in praise and worship. Lord, we love you, Jesus. We thank you, God, for what you're doing, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for tonight. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, we want to give it over to you, Lord. We surrender it to you, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You excited to be here tonight? Amen. Praise God. Come on, you excited to be here tonight? Amen. So I needed to hype you up a little bit. It's too quiet in here. We got some great preachers coming. I want you to amen them, clap with them. Let's worship the Lord with them. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's put our hands together for Sister Meehan as she comes.
Praise the Lord. You can go ahead and be seated. I'd like to turn our attention to Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. It says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." I just want to talk about that renewing, because what an amazing time it is that we have this opportunity at the very end of 1 year, about to start into a new one, where we can just take a moment to renew our mind. Hallelujah. New Year's is a time, again, to reflect on the past, but also to allow, to open our hearts to what God has in store for our future. And so tonight I just wanted to talk about that renewing of our mind. I want to just quickly bring us into the story in Daniel chapter 3. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. It's Daniel chapter 3. I'm going to read a couple of verses, so please just bear with me. If you know the story, you'll catch on here a little bit. But starting at verse 10, Daniel 3 and 10, it says, "Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image." And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of all those instruments, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. Now, if you've heard this story before, you know, and you guys were all shouting with me about how they stood up to King Nebuchadnezzar. Hallelujah. And it's a wonderful, beautiful story, a testament of our faith. And when we stand up for our faith and what our God can do, hallelujah. And it's such a powerful thing that they didn't just say our God is able, but they said, even if he doesn't, hallelujah, I'm still going to worship my God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But what I want to focus on, and it's something that I hadn't previously really considered in this story and in my Bible reading, I'll confess I'm a little bit behind. It's the end of the year, you know, so you're trying to play catch up. And I'm in the book of Daniel and just going through this story. I looked at it and I considered and I thought, these Hebrew boys and Daniel, they were likely only between the ages of 15 and 18 years old when they came under the Babylonian rule. So they were young. The Bible says they were young men. They were teenagers. And they underwent 3 years of this training program to serve King Nebuchadnezzar. They were chosen because of their intelligence and their skill, and they were a part of this elite group of young people that when they were taken captive into Judah. And so they were, you know, they were intelligent, they were skillful, they were strong, they were young. And so, of course, the Babylonians saw them and said, hey, yeah, let's train them for our king. And they were in captivity for 70 years. And so even though it's this amazing story of faith that when it came up to it, that they would not serve their gods, but it's even more of a testimony when you consider the fact that from a teenager, they had only lived in the Hebrew faith for a short period of their lives. When you think about the total time they were in the Babylonian captivity, they were taken into Babylon. Their names were changed. They were immersed in that culture. They went into this training program to serve the king. They were indoctrinated, if you will. All of these things. And when you think about, even as a teenager yourself or your own teenagers and them out in this world, hallelujah, and the indoctrination and all of the things that they face, and to see that these young men held on to their faith even through all of that. Hallelujah. And I'm here to tell you that we are in this world, but we are not of this world. Hallelujah. And so tonight, let it be a renewing in our mind that says, in 2026, I am going to let go of these excuses of my flesh, hallelujah, the distractions of this world, because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't just, you know, casually stand up to King Nebuchadnezzar, right? And I know that that was a big step of faith, but it was every single small decision that they had made up until that point. And so we may not be facing persecution from a king. We may not be facing this fiery furnace in front of us, but each and every day we're making decisions. And I just hear in these Hebrew boys has every single day, be not conformed to this world, be not conformed to this world, be not conformed to this world. Every day when they were in this culture and in this Babylonian rule, they were being called by a different name, but they were saying, no, I'm not conformed. I'm not a part of this culture. I'm not Babylonian. That's not who I serve. This isn't my king. This isn't my God. Hallelujah. And so I just pray for 2026, we can get our mind fixed on him. Hallelujah. And just like these three Hebrew boys, all those decisions that they made, Daniel, it says that he was in the lion's den because he prayed as he did before. Hallelujah. It was those everyday decisions that he was going to stand for his God and pray. Hallelujah. And when David faced Goliath, that wasn't his first battle. He fought the lion and the bear and all of those things that led up to that giant. And so I'm here to tell you today, hallelujah, that each and every day we can make up in our minds that in 2026, I'm going to say, be not conformed to this world, but I'm going to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. I'm going to serve God each and every day. God, I'm going to wake up and pray. God, I'm going to read my Bible because I am not going to be conformed to this world. I know I'm here and I know I'm working in the world. I'm in school in the world. I'm all these things you're in, but hallelujah, I am not a part of that kingdom. I am a part of God's kingdom. Hallelujah. So I'm out of time, but I just want to encourage us tonight, hallelujah, to be not conformed, but be transformed. Hallelujah. That each and every day of 2026, we're going to make up in our mind and in our heart, hallelujah, that we're going to serve God. No other kings, hallelujah, no other priorities, no other temptations, hallelujah, but we're going to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. If we could stand and clap our hands tonight. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Our God is so grateful and worthy to be praised, worshiped, and honored. I thank God for all that he's doing and continues to do. You can be seated, please. God bless you. I'm just going to jump right into what God has put in my heart. Huh. What a wonderful word from God so far. Hallelujah. We had a theme last year for what we were looking forward to and what God was going to do in this church, and God has been continually doing it, and that is pouring out his wonderful blessings in spirit. And what a wonderful thing. God has really opened our eyes. I know there's faithful people here tonight that have seen God's move and God's wonderful work and his wonderful outpouring. Not just in the, you know, in the blessings and in the miracles and his signs and all these wonderful things that he's doing in our lives and other people's lives too around us, you know. We have to thank God for that, because we're going to close out this year in that wonderful outpouring. But we're going to also invite God for the next year in his fire, in his wonderful blessings. Hallelujah. He's not done and he's doing great things. And we have to understand that in order to receive from him, that we have to push aside those things, like Sister Meehan was saying, those things in our lives that get in the way, those obstacles, those, discouraging people that, you know, need prayer. Those people really need prayer, because God is willing for us to be in their lives, is willing to sacrifice our needs so that they can be held up in his wonderful presence. We got to ask God to forgive them and bless them. Nebuchadnezzar could have been destroyed after throwing those children into the fire. But God had to show Nebuchadnezzar what was about to take place in his whole kingdom. And that's what's so awesome about God. God has given us and placed us in places in this world, in our lives, in our cities, in our neighborhoods, in our jobs, to show people the fire that he has given us, the wonderful light, the wonderful understanding of his word, and the mercy that he gives us. It's so a wonderful blessing. Hallelujah. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 2. Hallelujah. Moses saw light from a distance, right? It was on a mountain, Mount Zion. Chapter 3, verse 2. Hallelujah. And the word reads, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed." Hallelujah. This is a great illustration of the power that lives within us. When you're baptized in repentance and you receive the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, as Acts chapter 2, verse 38 says, we're given that wonderful power, that wonderful fire in us, in our lives, to walk into any kind of circumstance with God standing next to us. If we understood the wonderful fire that God has given us, the wonderful understanding of his love, it came from our Father. It came from his wonderful sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, who his Son became a sacrifice. I thank God, love from our Father. It only came from him. No man can give us that on this world. No man can take away what God has given us. And he's given it to us so freely. That's the fire we have to bring to this world, to this society, to help people understand that he is the fire. He is our Father. And he gives so freely from his wonderful kingdom. He's such a great God. And I thank God that I have the opportunity to be here to share the wonderful love he has for us in this world, in our circumstances, in our future, which this year is to come. We have to be lit on fire for our Father. We have to push away our flesh. We have to push away our circumstances. We have to push away the doubt, the sickness of our flesh, to have him move on us, to help us believe in him, trust in him, and to know that he is the one, the only, the God that gives and gives so freely. And I thank my Heavenly Father that he is so wonderful to us all, not only to me, but to everyone. I've seen so much of God and things that have happened around me. I thank God that I'm a witness to that. I thank God that I'm able to testify about that, that I'm able to tell people in the world that it happened. You should have seen the lame man walk. You should have seen the cancer disappear. You should have seen the Crohn's go away. You should have seen the disease lifted from this man. Hallelujah. I thank God that he told me to walk. When I was quadriplegic, sitting in the hospital, I wasn't able to walk. They put a neck brace around me and said, "You're done." And God said, "No, go home." Thank you, God, for that wonderful love that he showed me, the wonderful mercy that he gave me, the wonderful cross that he shed his blood on the cross for me. Hallelujah, Jesus, you are wonderful. There's none other but you, God. He is our Father, our everlasting King, Almighty God. There's none like him. He is our burning fire, our everlasting Father, our King. Hallelujah. We need to become his soldiers this year. We need to carry the torch of tomorrow, of the rest of this future, our lives. And I thank God that he put it in my heart to pray for everyone in this church for this year to come,
not only for this year, but for the rest of your life, that God will work in your life, that God will work in your spirit, that God will bring you to the light. Hallelujah. That God's candle in your life will burn everlasting in Jesus' name. May God bless you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God is so great. Hallelujah. I want to go into Kings, 1 Kings chapter 18. You might know of this one. Hallelujah. It's the story of Elijah on Mount Carmel. Hallelujah. What a wonderful, again, it's another testimony, another witness of God's greatness. Hallelujah. And it came together to me. I'm sitting here thinking about what kind of fire, how much fire, where is it going, what's it burning? What's happening? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I started thinking about what else, you know, Noah and how God cleansed the earth with water, you know. And we put so much effort into this church. So many blessings, that outpouring, you know, of the Holy Ghost, of the water. And then God put this in my heart about Elijah. When they were verse 18, or chapter 18, verse 33 through 35. Hallelujah. Mighty God, mighty God. And the word reads, and he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces. This is Elijah. And he laid him on the wood and said, fill four barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar. Hallelujah. That's what I feel about the wonderful water, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost in this church. Hallelujah. God's been pouring out so much water in this place. And it's so great to know that this year coming, he's going to do great things. And he filled the trench also with water. Thank you, Father. Verse 6, and it came to pass, at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant. That's what this church is. We're servants of the Lord. And that I have done all these things at thy word, Jesus' name, we trust in you, Lord. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. God is powerful. God's bringing the fire. Hallelujah. Our lives are going to change. Stay faithful. Stay in the church. Bless his name. Praise him and worship him and thank him. Hallelujah. He's about to do a great miracle. I think about that day he told me to get up and go home. I thought I was going to heaven. My neck was broken. I wasn't supposed to move. I thought I was going to be moving in the spirit. And I think about it all the time. I said, Lord, I wanted to go home. My father said, no, not yet. I have work for you to do. Hallelujah. And I thank God that I'm here to do the work of the Lord. God has called us to do such a great and marvelous work. Let us not forget he's in charge. Let's thank him for what he's about to do in our hearts, in our lives, in our souls. I had so much more, but I know God's got way more of work to do in us. And let's stand to our feet. Let's thank him for his word. Let that burn in our hearts. Let it change us. Let it become a part of our lives in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you, Lord, almighty God.
Jesus, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's all right. Let's continue to do that. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, we love you, God. We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. How about we give each and all of these speakers a hand tonight? Praise God. I feel like the Lord's wanting to do something around here. Amen. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, just one more sermon. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, a very familiar passage of Scripture. One that may be an obvious passage of Scripture for a night like tonight. But in prayer this morning, I felt the Holy Ghost leading me to read this. I'm excited for next year. Hallelujah. I'm going to be this Sunday giving our vision as a church and the direction. Many of you already know what it is. Many of you have heard bits and pieces of it. I think Brother Victor is absolutely right. It's time to get to work. Hallelujah. And do something for the Lord. We're going to do that in 2026. I'm excited about it. But man, wasn't 2025 amazing? Didn't God do some great works around here? I asked you back in September after our 21-day fast, I asked you to cast out again and to once again throw out those nets. And I thank you for doing that. We have seen amazing things just the last 3 to 4 months around here, of lives being changed and hearts being set free, minds being transformed. Hallelujah. And I believe God's going to do a whole lot more of that. Amen. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I know God's done some pretty amazing things, but I don't think he's done yet. Hallelujah. I think it's just the beginning. Amen. He says, I count not myself to have apprehended. We can't get content. We can't get content with the move of God. We can't be content with our loved ones not coming to church and being lost. I can't be content, hallelujah, with just a little praise. Not when we serve such a great God. Praise the Lord. I can't be content, praise God. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press. Everybody say press. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Tonight, I just want to preach for just a couple of minutes that it's time to press into 2026. Hallelujah. Let's press in. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. I love that this is Paul writing the books of Philippians to the church in Philippi. This isn't a new convert. This isn't somebody who just started preaching. This is someone who'd have been on multiple missionary journeys. He'd preached the gospel to almost the entire known world at that time. He'd seen miracles, signs, and wonders. He'd seen thousands, more than likely, come to an understanding of Jesus Christ, get baptized in the name of Jesus, and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He was an elder throughout the church. There wasn't a person in the church, Peter included, that did not look up to Paul. Yet Paul said, I count myself. What he's trying to say is he's not trying to say, hey, you have not apprehended. He's not trying to say, you have more ground to cover. You've got more you need to do for God. He is making it personal. He says, I count myself not to have apprehended. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm not looking at everyone else. Tonight, if you're just come to look around and see what everybody else is doing, you're going to miss it. But you got to look in yourself and say, I count myself not to have apprehended. I've not seen the greatest moves of God yet. I've not seen the greatest miracles yet. I've not seen the most people come to the Lord yet in my circle. I'm looking at myself. Hallelujah. I'm looking at what I've accomplished. I'm looking at what I haven't accomplished. I'm looking at my successes. And I'm also looking at my failures. And when I look at those things, I come to the determination, God's got more for me. Oh, you believe that today? God's got more for me in 2026. So listen, I can sit around and hold a pity party about how this didn't happen in 2025. I lost this. Hallelujah. I failed here. Oh, we can get our understanding. God's not through with me yet. Hallelujah. 2026 is around the corner. And there is more revival. There's more signs and wonders. There's more miracles. There's more loved ones coming to God. He's not done with me yet. Why don't you clap your hands again? Worship the Lord and tell him, I know you're not done. Praise God. I believe in 2025, the Lord has positioned you. And if I can just speak out of what I feel in the Holy Ghost, I feel He has positioned me and prepared me. It's been said already tonight, the Lord is wanting us to be like an army going into 2026. I communicated the same idea this last Sunday. Praise God, I believe that the Lord has positioned us. I'm so thankful I lost all that weight. If you've been coming, you know, since July, I've lost over 75 pounds. I'm thankful for that. But I didn't just do it because of my health, and I didn't just do it because of my kids. I didn't just do it because of the diabetes, but I felt this in prayer Monday night. The Lord said, I've helped you to get healthy because I've got a greater work for you to do in 2026. And you know what? I'm not going to waste this extra strength and hallelujah, this extra health. I'm going to use it to do more for Jesus than I've ever done. I'm going to do it to go to more places to preach the gospel than I've ever gone. Praise God, because it's time to press in. And I've heard those who forget the past are doomed to repeat it. I think that there's some wisdom to that. However, I do also want to warn you that the past can also teach us the wrong lessons. The past, if we're not careful, will inform our decisions And if we're not careful, the past will completely disrupt our future. I want you here tonight to consider the past as the voice of a consultant. There's lots of wisdom that we can take into 2026 that we learned in 2025 and 24 and 23. It can provide some great advice. But at the end of the day, it shouldn't control your future. Oh, praise God. And that voice that keeps telling you, you tried in 2025, just give up and don't make it a priority in 2026. I'm here to tell you that's a voice you should not listen to. Just because you might have failed back then doesn't mean you're going to fail now. If it failed in 2025, 2026 is a new year. It's a new opportunity. It's a new chance to see revival and to see things happen again. The past can freeze us into time. Can I tell you that as long as we're focused on what we didn't do, we didn't see, as long as we're focused on what didn't work, then it will remove the potential that is here in 2026. The Bible says today, Paul said that I'm going to press toward the mark. That word mark, it means a goal, if you will, a finish line. You can even look at it like a dartboard. The mark is the bullseye. Anybody around here ever played some sports or maybe darts or something like that? Anybody ever made a bullseye with darts with your back looking the opposite direction? That's pretty tough to do. I'm sure somebody can do it. Maybe Dude Perfect or something. I don't know. Can make it happen. But that'd be pretty impossible. The lesson here is, as long as I'm looking backwards, I'll never be able to make the mark forward. There's a couple of implications to that word, press toward the mark. The first implication is that I'm not going to allow distractions to steal my focus. But I know where I want to go. Oh, hallelujah. And if you don't know where you're going or where you want to go, tonight's a good night to get some fresh vision from the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, but I know where I want to go. I know what I want to see be done in 2026. I know I want revival at all costs. I know I want to see the Lord's will in my life. I know I want to work in the ministry. I want God to use me like never before. I want to get rid of any shame and pain. Hallelujah. Any sin and temptation. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about? I got a mark. I got a goal. I got some place I'm heading toward. But I got all these distractions. My past is distracting me. Things to the left and the right. Hallelujah. When he says I press toward the mark, what he's saying is I'm keeping my eye on the bullseye. I'm keeping my eye on victory. I'm keeping my eye on revival. I'm keeping my eye on miracles. I'm focused on the mark. I'm focused on the mark. Sister Meehan did such a great job helping us to know how we can stay focused every day. How's that renewing our mind? But another implication of that word, press,
It's expressing that he's going to give a greater effort. I'm going to put in a greater effort to my recovery in 2026 than I'd ever have before. Oh, Alamasana. I'm going to preach a little louder than I ever have before. I'm going to pray a little stronger than I ever have before. I'm going to praise a little wilder than I ever have before. I'm going to press in with all my might. I'm going to push through the junk. I'm going to make an eager pursuit. I tried in 2025, and I've learned, and now I'm going to give it my best shot. Anybody else all in today on revival? I'm here to preach to you, and I'm finishing, but I'm here to preach to you. It's time to take risks. It's time to give some effort to this thing. It's time to say, I'm not going to just bring in 2026 apathetically. I'm not bringing it in on the couch. I thank you so much for coming out tonight. It shows your passion for the Lord. I'm not bringing in 2026 the same way I did all the other times, lackadaisical. No, I'm focused and I'm eager and I'm ready to put it all on the line. Come on, press. Somebody right now, press. Push up against that negativity and press through it. I know you tried praying. Pray some more. I know you tried praising. Praise some more. How about we stand to our feet? Let's clap our hands. Let's worship the Lord and press through. Somebody next to you and tell them, you got to press. Somebody told me the other day this true statement. I know today we've got YouTube stars who are making millions of dollars and all that stuff. And it confuses us. It gives us a false impression that success, victory, happiness can come easily. Just gotta hit record. Somebody said this the other day to me. They said, I've never seen a successful person who wasn't a hard worker. Somebody who didn't know how to push through the negativity. And look, I know you're beat up. And I know things haven't gone your way. I know you've struggled. But I feel in the Holy Ghost today. God's saying, I've got better things on the other side of 2025. It's not going to come, though, without pressing, without pushing, without a little bit more effort, without a little bit more courage, without a little bit more faith. I'm not calling an altar call right now, but right where you're at, I'm wondering if you could just lift up your hands and say, Jesus, I'm determined to press through. I believe you've got more for us. I'm not going to let the past freeze me in time. But Lord, I'm going to try again and I'm going to give it more effort than I ever have. I'm going to try again and this time, Lord Jesus, I'm keeping my eye on the prize and I'm staying focused. Thank you again for all of our preachers and ministers who have led us today into this atmosphere of revival. This is an excellent setting for us to go into communion, because we will be celebrating one who didn't give a little bit. He didn't give his half. He pressed through the pain. He pressed through the fear. And he gave his life to Christ. If you don't know what communion is the celebration of the death of Jesus Christ. It's the remembrance of the body that was slain and the blood that was shed on our behalf. We're going to take communion in just a second. This is a very powerful tradition of the church. And it's not a tradition as in it was started by man. Jesus himself started it at the Last Supper. I'm going to read just a couple of short verses here. If you can just stay standing, if you can. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. It gives us some details about communion. It says, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup," again, in celebration and remembrance of Christ, "ye do show the Lord's death till he come." That word "show" means proclaim. It's not every sermon we talk about Jesus dying on the cross. But man, it's something I never want to forget. Not until he comes back, I don't ever want to forget how he pressed through for me. Verse 27, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." What does that mean? It means partaking of the bread and the cup hypocritically. You know that you've got sin in your heart. You know that you're not willing to give up your sin. You're unrepentant. If you're in this place and that's you, I'm gonna urge you to refrain from communion. He tells us, verse 28, "Let a man examine himself." Look in your heart and ask yourself, are you being truthful to God? Being truthful in your walk with the Lord? If you examine yourself and you determine, this doesn't mean you're perfect, but it means, you know what, I have given it all to the Lord. And though I know I'm not perfect and I'm still fighting with this, I'm still fighting with that, I am going into this with a pure conscience because I've repented and asked the Lord to forgive me. I've made a commitment to him that I'm turning my back against that sin. Verse 29, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself." Why? Because you're not being respectful to the Lord's body. Verse 30, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." It is believed that he's referencing here not physical sickness, but spiritual sickness. That partaking in communion with a hypocritical heart and mindset will actually cause us to become more weak in our walk with God, not stronger. That's why right now what I'd like to do, I'd like for us all to bow our heads. And I'd love for us all just right now to say a word of repentance. And we can all do this right now because none of us are perfect. Let's do it right now, Lord Jesus. You see my heart. You see my imperfections. You see what I struggle with, Lord God. You see the temptations that come in my life every day as it does all of us. Lord, you see when I have fallen. Lord Jesus, if there be any sin in my heart today, I ask your forgiveness. I ask you to cleanse and purge my heart, Lord God. Today, Lord Jesus, even if there's something that I'm struggling with, I determine to turn my back against it, Lord. I don't want that. I want you. I don't want that in my life. I want you in my life. I want your spirit in my life. I want your love in my life. So I ask you, Jesus, to forgive me. Forgive me, Jesus, of my sins. And purge me of all unrighteousness. The Bible says if we will confess our sins, that doesn't mean we have to sit here and name every single one of them. Man, if I tried to name every sin I've committed, we'd be here all night. We'd be here way past midnight. Hallelujah. But if I confess that I am a sinner without Him, then the Bible says He is faithful. Everybody say faithful. He is just. Everybody say just. To forgive us of sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Today, if you have sincerely repented, I want to encourage you. Your sins are washed away in the blood of the Lamb. You have been set free of those sins. You do not need to bear the shame or condemnation. You can come and celebrate this communion without any fear today. How about we clap our hands to the Lord again? Parents, I'm going to leave it up to you. If you believe that your child is old enough to understand the significance of this, they're old enough to understand the significance of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and repentance, we will leave it up to you to decide for your child if they will celebrate the Lord's communion today. If we can, how about we gather down here, and if you can just grab just one cup, hold it in your hand, grab one piece of bread, and then stay down here at the altar area, this area down here. We're going to all just gather here to celebrate. Remember, just hold on to it. Don't drink or eat just yet. I will instruct you when. Jesus was very methodical when he did it. He was very intentional about when they ate and when they drank. So we're going to do the same thing today.
I know your hands might be full, but if you've got a need in this house, you need a healing, you need a miracle, just you need God to move in your situation, would you raise your hand today? I'm telling you right now, there's nothing powerful in what I do, but the Lord is here. And we're going to talk about it here in just a moment, but there's something powerful about recognizing the Lord's death. I've personally been healed doing communion in the past. I believe God will do it for you today. If you will take this seriously, open up your heart, do it in faith, God's going to do it. I'm going to read just a couple scriptures here again. Just hold on just a moment. 2 Corinthians 11:23 says, "For I have received the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, 'Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" Now, it wasn't his literal body. He was sitting there as he said it. This right here is not the literal body of Jesus Christ. But when you look at it, I want you to imagine Jesus in that body. Isaiah 53 and 4 says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." That piece of bread that you're holding today, it represents that body that was humiliated, that body that was spit upon, that body that was hit in the face. It represents the head that was torn by the thorns being pressed down upon it. It represents the back that was whipped and left stripes of open wounds. It represents the body that stumbled down Calvary Street. It represents the body, the hands that were nailed, the feet that were nailed, the body that hung on the cross, the body that was pierced through in the side, and ultimately the body that declared, "It is finished," and gave up the ghost. Right now, let us partake of the bread, which is the body of Jesus Christ. First Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 25 says, "After the same manner, he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood.
This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. In the Old Testament, they had their law. In the New Testament, he had the blood. In the Old Testament, it was animal sacrifices. It was the blood of those lambs. In the New Testament, it was the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 2:13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9:12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Revelations 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. I'm happy to say the blood still flows today, and there is power in his blood. There's redemption in his blood. There's anointing in his blood. Let us today partake of the blood. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, how about we go ahead right now? Thank you, Jesus, for the blood. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood.